You know, we do get weary in the flesh from time to time, but though the outward man perish, we are renewed day by day, aren't we? Inwardly, we're renewed. It's good to be here. I along with Brother Moran, want to welcome you tonight. Appreciate the visitors that are among us. I'm thankful for him and love and appreciate him very much. Appreciate him driving from Bowling Green for each service to be with us, driving home each night. And I'm thankful that you're here with us this evening. The first night he was here, he was introducing himself. And he began to share with us his age and some of the places he had gone, some of the things he had done. And one of the little boys leaned over to his mother and said, "Miss Veda's really going to like him." And she's our oldest and most honorable member here at Victory Church. I owed you one. If you have your Bibles tonight, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4. I want to speak to you tonight concerning the powerful message delivered by a powerful preacher. You know, we read in Scripture about people who prophesied and who preached. In Sunday school, we've been studying the Sermon on the Mount, preached by the preacher of preachers. The prince of preachers actually is Jesus Christ. I realize some say that Charles Spurgeon was the prince of preachers, but there's many other preachers of the Bible. Moses was a great preacher of God. In these passages of Scripture, he begins with some prophecy. He was prophesying concerning the people of Israel in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy, concerning things that would transpire in the future. Before he gets through, though, he begins to talk about their peril, the problems that they would encounter. And in the midst of their peril, there was a sermon delivered, a prediction pertaining to what they could do and how they could get pardon. My friend, you need pardon tonight if you've not been saved. And it is my desire, as it was the desire of Moses and these other preachers and these prophets of God, to tell you how you can find provision in the time of peril. There's no greater problem than the problem of sin. Amen. And you can get that thing settled tonight if you go to the place where that all sin is settled, and that's Calvary. You go to Jesus Christ. But as we read these passages of Scripture, I hope in the course of reading them that we'll be able to correspond things that we do here and now with the things that Moses told them to do then and there. I was talking to a young man here, I believe it was last Sunday. He came running up to me. He said, "Preacher," he said, "I went to the Tennessee History Museum and they have a picture of us." He said, "They've got a picture of a man preaching hellfire and brimstone and people all over the ground praying and seeking God." I'm glad churches still do that today. Amen. I'm glad there's still preachers that will preach hellfire and brimstone. I'm glad there's still a people that will seek the face of God. Amen. Our society may consider that something of history past, but I'm telling you, it's only present day way of finding God. All through the Scriptures, we are encouraged to seek God. In the Old Testament as well as the New, Paul in his preaching the 17th chapter of Acts will tell them to seek God, feel after Him that they might find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. In the Old Testament, we are encouraged to seek after God. Now I'm afraid many times we don't understand actually what it means to seek God. But Moses encouraged the people that when they were found in peril, that they would seek God. And I want to, by the help of God tonight, I pray that the Lord would give us the message that needs to be delivered. This church wants to help you. I want to help you. And I want you to understand thoroughly and completely what it means to seek God. I remember when I was lost and I began to seek God. I remember when I first became accountable for my sins. Now, many times we talk about it seems like a paradox. It seems like a contradiction, I suppose. We'll have some people to testify, and it was just so simple and so sudden for them. And there's others that seem to seek God for years. I remember when God first dealt with me. I was in dad at that time had a blue station wagon. And we were either going to Kentucky or coming from Kentucky. And I was in the back seat of that station wagon. I remember the Lord dealing with me and the Lord letting me know that I was lost. Now, I am thoroughly convinced in my mind that I could have been saved right there in the back seat of that blue station wagon. The Lord was calling. He was dealing with me. I realized I was lost. But instead of seeking God, instead of humbling my heart, I seized and laid hold of the things of this world. And it plunged me into chaos where I had trouble finding the Lord. You cannot find Christ unless you let go of the world. There's a thing in the Bible that had been preached for years and it corresponds and fits in perfectly with seeking God, and that's repentance. In order to find God, in order to be saved, in order to experience the new life, when you're seeking the Lord, you must turn from your sins. Repentance is essential to be saved. That was the first message. When John the Baptist came out of the wilderness of Judea preaching repent, for the kingdom of heaven was at hand, it was already in the minds and the hearts of the people of Israel how to seek God. I fear there are many that no longer remember or know how to seek God. It seems as though many churches have forgotten how to seek the face of God. But when we face a problem in life, this is a message not only for the sinner, but also for the saint. There's only one thing we can do, and that's seek the face of God. I begin reading in the fourth chapter of Deuteronomy. I begin reading in verse 25. He said, when thou shalt begat children and children's children, and ye have remained long in the land, and shall corrupt yourselves, and make graven image, or the likeness of anything, and shall do evil in the sight of the Lord thy God to provoke him to anger, I call heaven and earth to witness against you this day, that you shall soon utterly perish from off the land, whereunto ye go over Jordan to possess it. Ye shall not prolong your days upon it, but shall utterly be destroyed. And the Lord shall scatter you among the nations, and you shall be left few in number among the heathen, whether the Lord shall lead you. And there you shall serve gods, the work of men's hands, wood and stone, and which neither see nor hear, nor eat nor smell. And if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou shalt seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, and all of these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall obey unto his voice. I'll stop there, verse 30 in my reading. First of all, I want to point out something. That seeking God implies a state of the heart. It implies the character or the conditions of the heart. It's not a position of the body. You can seek the Lord standing up. You can seek the Lord in your seat. We heard many testimonies last night about people just beginning to drop to their knees or make their way to the altar and find Jesus and experience salvation. They were seeking God. Seeking God is a state of the heart. And actually, seeking God is a process. It's a condition. Actually, there are components that correspond with seeking God. And Moses, he gives us some of those components. He not just says, seek the Lord, but he says, notice in these passages of Scripture, he says, if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord, thou shalt find him if. See, there's a condition there. There's a stipulation. There are some things that must correspond with you seeking God. If you want to find relief and salvation and deliverance, there must be a criteria. There must be these particular components that correspond with you seeking God. And if they are not there, then you really aren't seeking God. You know, a lot of times there are people that seek peace but don't want to lay hold of the Prince of Peace. There are a lot of people that want the forgiveness of sin but want to remain in their sins. Jesus came to save us from sin. Amen? And if you're not trying to separate yourself from sin, then you are not seeking God. This process, this state, this condition, it corresponds with all the things said in the Old Testament. The prophets, like Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 45 and 5, he said, and seekest thou great things for thyself? Even then they were seeking great things for themselves. If you're simply seeking salvation to escape hell, you need to seek salvation to come to know the Savior instead. If you're just seeking to relieve the tension of your own soul and don't plan to serve Christ, then you'll never find him and you're really not seeking him. One of the criteria of seeking Christ is to make Christ your Lord. I believe in Lordship salvation. Amen. I believe when a person comes and surrenders it all, they're surrendering their all to him. Now, there are many passages of Scripture and there are many illustrations. But Jeremiah was talking about in their day how that they were seeking to obtain great things for themselves. And he said, seek them not. If you're just trying to obtain something for yourself, some status for yourself, that's not the reason to become a Christian. All those that joined up with Christianity in the New Testament, they joined up by leaving all. Amen? They left all and followed him. Some of the things that are going on today is sad. I mean, it's very sad. And some of the things that transpire in conjunction with Christianity. We have the most worldly Christians that have ever been. Have y'all noticed that? It's a pragmatism. A lot of churches are just doing what works. They actually go out and they canvass a community to find out what kind of doctrines people like, and then they make their doctrines to appease the people. My friend, the Church of Jesus Christ is to preach and teach the doctrines of Jesus Christ. Amen. Not correspondent with the carnality of mankind. No, that's wrong. It's wrong. Every person that ever comes to Jesus Christ not only comes to make him Lord, but to correspond their life with his leadership, with his will. When we seek Christ, our will must be crushed. We come with a broken heart and a contrite spirit. Amen? That's one of the criteria of seeking Christ. Now let me say this about the broken heart and the contrite spirit. There are many times because I was a chronic seeker, I sought the Lord for years. I'm familiar with that. But I am still thoroughly convinced that if I would have relinquished my will in the back seat of that blue Oldsmobile, I would have been saved in a car instead of on an altar. But instead, I laid hold of the world. Actually, there was a little red wallet that had just a few dollars in that I actually squeezed and held on to. When we seek the Lord, it implies that we are humbling ourselves. But the Lord doesn't look upon the body, he looks upon the heart. Amen? God doesn't look upon your physical condition. You know, actually, there were years that I tried to cry and I tried to weep. But the night I got saved, there wasn't a tear in my eye, but my heart was weeping. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah. My heart was laid low and I humbled myself. And that's one of the criterias of seeking God. You must humble not your body. Notice these passages. Moses said not to just seek the Lord with your face or with your hands or with your knees bent. What did he say here? He gives a double dose of the spirit of man and says this: seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. And if you don't seek the Lord with all your heart and soul, you haven't really sought the Lord. The Lord, all through Scripture, encourages us to turn to him. Find grace, find help, find security, find happiness. But if you're not seeking him tonight to follow him, you're not really seeking him. If you're not seeking him tonight to love him, you're not really seeking him. If you're not willing to give up all and serve him and let the Lord use you, you're not really seeking him with all your heart and with all your soul. Amen? John, 1 John 2 and 15. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life is what? Not of the Father, but is of the world. He says the world passes away and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. I believe that we must seek to separate ourselves from the world. He goes a little further and says this in the 5th chapter, the 4th verse. He tells us we need to overcome the world. And as you seek Christ, you must seek to overcome the world. How is that done, John? John tells us, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. A lot of you are being dragged down into the pits of hell by the world. There's so much worldliness today in our society. There's so much perversion. There's so many impurities and immoralities in our world today. And all of these immoralities that exist, they exist in the schools. Many of the schools have become a cesspool of sin. If you don't believe me, you just go over here and ask one of these teenagers. And our teenagers will tell you the truth about it. You go to the workplace, and in your workplace, many of your coworkers are indulging and involved in some hideous, sinful activity. Amen. The immorality is all around us. Covetousness is on the rise. What was it that Paul said in Colossians? I believe it's the 4th chapter, somewhere around in there. He said, covetousness, which is idolatry. Notice in our reading lesson, Moses said, when you're bombarded by impurity, when you're bombarded by heathenism, when you're bombarded by idolatry, that's the time you need to, from that place, turn to the Lord. Amen. If there ever needed to be a gospel preached, it needs to be preached today. Sin is running rampant. People in this society need the Lord. They need the Lord. We are in a state of tribulation. It's time the church arise. It's time the church wake up, realize what's going on around us, and realize that these folks out there, they need Jesus. They need to be saved. I was talking to Miss Veda as we were coming back from the funeral the other day, and this guy that stole Miss Veda's burial preparations. And down there in Smithville, she's telling me about, you know, that he only got 3 years. He only got 3 years for stealing from those elderly people. They put their confidence and trust in him, and he stole their money. And I was talking to her about that, and she said, you know, that he only got 3 years, and there's scoundrels all around us. I said, well, Miss Veda, I said, He needs to be saved. She said, yeah, I'm praying for him too. I'm sure she is praying for him. But these people need to be saved. They will steal from you. They will rob you. We are in a crooked and perverse generation. And this crooked and perverse generation needs the Lord. They need to be saved. They need to hear the message that we preach. They need to be seeking the Lord. We need to have one of them old camp meeting revivals. Amen. Yeah, where sinners are on their face before God and they're repenting of their sins and they're getting right. And when you get right with God, you'll leave that sin behind. You'll come up changed. You, when you're seeking, you need to be seeking a change. Some of you young people are probably like the man in the 18th chapter of Luke, the rich young ruler, remember? Yeah, he came to Jesus and said, good master, what must I do to have eternal life? You know, and Jesus went through the commandments and, oh, he said, I've been doing all that since my youth. And some of you are probably looking at me tonight and say, yes, I go to school with some of them bad people. I know some of them. They live down the street from me. I see them on the street corner when we drive down Nashville. I see those places that you're talking about where sin definitely abounds. But that's not me. That's not me. That's not me. I'm a good little boy. I'm a good girl. I've kept all of these commandments of God from my youth up. What did Jesus tell that rich young ruler? Y'all remember? He said, okay. There's one thing, though, that's lacking. Let me turn over and read it. You look in the 18th chapter of Luke. He said, you've got one thing missing, mister. One thing lacking in order to have everlasting life. He said this, turn there if you'd like, in the 18th chapter of Luke. He said, you lack one thing. He said, sell all that thou hast and distribute to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. You come, follow me. That may be what's lacking in your seeking the Lord for salvation. You're not willing to follow Jesus, to be numbered with that group, to be numbered with the Christians, to endure the persecution that some of them, maybe you see at school, endure because they stand up for Christ. And I thank God for our young people. Some of them take a stand for the Lord, and I'm proud of them when they do, amen? Amen. And I'll get on to them when they don't. And you will too, I'm sure. But I'm proud when they take a stand for the Lord, and I'm proud when I see you on your workplace, among your neighbors and your friends, take a stand for Jesus. It's time the church stand up for Jesus Christ. Amen. We don't start standing up for something, we're going to fall for anything. I'm afraid that's what's happened to a lot of churches today. We need to seek the Lord, wanting to love Him, wanting to follow Him, wanting to serve Him, wanting to live for Him, amen, even willing to die for Him. I've heard many testimonies, however, that they got to the end of themselves and they were willing to die for the Lord. My friend, that's the kind of seeking that needs to go on in your soul, that you might find Jesus tonight and go home saved. We can't hold on to the world and be saved at the same time. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If you love the world, the love of the Father is nowhere around you. We seek to overcome the world. Let's notice here. You know, this man, this rich young ruler, what happened to him? Huh? I mean, he was actually seeking eternal life. He inquired of the Savior, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, but would not separate himself from the world. What happened? He didn't find it, did he? No. He really wasn't seeking the Lord with all of his heart and with all of his soul. He'd have been saved. I believe if that man would have sold all and followed Jesus, he would have had, just as Jesus said, great treasures in heaven. You know, you go to the next chapter. There was another man that sought the Lord. Sought to see him, actually. I believe he was going through Jericho in the 19th chapter. And there's a little man in statue called Zacchaeus. Y'all know about him? Yeah. and Zacchaeus, he sought to see Jesus. Couldn't see him for the crowd and scurried up a sycamore tree. Y'all know the story. And he was up there seeking Jesus, and Jesus saw him and said, Zacchaeus, come down from there. Make haste and come down. Today I must abide at thy house. He went home with Jesus, and he was serious about seeking the Lord. He was so serious about seeking the Lord. I'll tell you how serious he was. You look in the 19th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. Zacchaeus stood in verse 8 and said unto the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Jesus said, today you've just been saved. He said, this day is salvation come to thy house. You see the contrast? Huh? Zacchaeus was really seeking Jesus. And he found him. I like the story about Zacchaeus. His heart, the conditions of his heart were changed. He was a tax collector, a publican. He had denied and denounced his own heritage. He was betraying the people of Israel and Father Abraham in collecting those taxes for Rome. And here he stands declaring that he would restore fourfold. And I'm assuming that he probably had ripped some people off. And he was making all the wrongs right. That's the kind of seeking that used to go on. I've read in history where people used to, when they were seeking the Lord, man, they were earnest about it. They didn't want something hindering them or hanging them up, something stumbling them or being a obstacle or a stumbling block for them. I've told about the story about Bulldog Charlie. I don't know if you all heard that tape or not, about this old guy in West Virginia who'd done all these bad things, and he got to seeking the Lord during a Methodist revival meeting, and even went to the judge and turned himself in. And he told the judge, he said, Judge, I've committed these crimes. And he says, but if you'll just wait, I'm in a Methodist revival meeting, and I'm seeking God. If you'll just wait until after this revival meeting closes, I will turn myself in for whatever penalties I must pay. That's the way they used to seek God. They were seeking to get right, amen? Now, and separating themselves, and of course he got saved, and when he went back before the judge, the judge said, if the Lord of glory has canceled your debt, so do I. And he left there, and God called him to preach and became a great minister of the gospel in Virginia. I'm telling you, God wants to save you, but you must seek him with all your heart and soul. From thence, Zacchaeus realized where he was, didn't he? He realized he was a sinner. He realized he was separated. He realized he had committed offenses and transgressions. He realized he was among those that had committed also similar transgressions. And you need to realize tonight, though you may look at the world and see it in all of its wickedness and unrighteousness and ungodliness, the point that needs to be made in seeking Christ, you're the one that has transgressed God's law. You're the one that's unrighteous. You're the one that needs eternal life. You're the ungodly one that needs the godliness of Jesus Christ. Amen? From thence, from that place, I'm glad that people are still getting saved, aren't you? I mean, we live in some bad days, people. I wonder sometimes just how long the Lord is going to tarry his coming, don't you? The things that we see happening in our homes and in our world, there's treachery against the gospel. Do y'all realize there's treachery against the Christians? There's people in the world that oppose us. Y'all realize that? They oppose the gospel of Jesus Christ. They're against us. They would destroy us if given a chance. And had not our founding fathers set some fundamental freedoms in place, we probably would have already been persecuted. From thence. What's that mean? When Moses said, from thence, He was talking about from the condition into which you have fallen or the position which you now occupy. He was talking about Moses was their captivity, their nation fallen into idolatry. He was talking about them being influenced by the heathen nations, being influenced by the world. They were told to turn and obey his voice. And we today, all of us, are surrounded by similar things, just as they were to turn from that place, from that condition. We find our society right there today. Amen. And from thence, I believe with every tick of the clock, the tyranny and the hostility rages more and more against our Lord Jesus Christ. I wasn't going to say this, but I will. Some of the hatred toward America actually is hatred toward Christians. And if you've not picked that up on the media, you need to. Some of this hatred raging against our country and burning of our flag is toward us more than toward our nation. When you're in an ungodly circumstance, when there's peril or problems or you need deliverance, Christ came to get you out of them. From thence, if you find yourself there with all those awful forces that seem to be dragging us and drawing us into perdition, I hope you sense that, lost friend. I hope you sense the prince and the power of the air, that with every breath that you breathe, you're serving him rather than the Lord Jesus Christ. Till your sins become under the crimson flow, till you go up the crest of Calvary and have your sins blotted out and canceled, you're not following Jesus Christ, you're following the prince and the power of the air. But praise God, those that are dead in trespasses and sin, when they call upon the Lord and seek the Lord with all their heart, they will find him. And he will quicken them by his spirit. He will change them and he will save them. We need a change by him, but you have to go to him in order to get it. Isaiah said in Isaiah 55 and 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he's near. Let the wicked forsake his ways. The unrighteous man his thoughts. Turn to the Lord. He will what? He will abundantly pardon you. You need to seek pardon. You need to seek pardon through the blood of Jesus Christ. You ought to seek him in faith. You ought to seek him diligently and earnestly. You should seek him. You can't please God without faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For those that come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You need to be earnest in your search for Christ. And you need to seek him with all your heart. Conditions, the criteria for seeking and finding Christ. What's he saying in these passages? And I'm going to close. I appreciate your attention tonight. Notice what he says. When thou art in tribulation, and all these things, they come upon you, turn to the Lord. Turn to the Lord. Seek the Lord. And he will deliver you. No matter how deep your trouble, your safest and wisest course is to flee to God in Christ Jesus. Your safest and wisest choice when you're in trouble. I know most of us have taught our kids that when they're in trouble, they need to pray. Amen. They need to call on the Lord, and most of them do, at school and various places, and I do myself, don't you? When these tribulations or troubles or perils come upon me, I seek the Lord. And you know, the same condition for the sinner is the condition for the saint. The Christian also must seek the Lord with all of his heart and his soul. And turn from those things that keep us separated from God and separated from our deliverance. I believe the text is universal. There are some, it seems, that'll never come to Christ until they're in tribulation. You guys know the story about the prodigal son? Huh? You know, he took all of his inheritance and he went out and squandered it, and he found himself feeding the swine. Not only feeding the swine, but he also was eating of the husks. They filled his belly. And what's the Bible say? He came to himself, amen? He was in peril. He was in tribulation. He was in trouble. And he says, he came to himself and he said, I will arise and go. And that's what you need to do when you're in trouble. You need to arise and go to the Father. Amen. Amen. Yeah, yeah. You'll find him there with a fatted calf and a robe and a ring to put on your finger. Amen. He will not turn you away. Most of the trials and troubles of finding Christ do not exist with God. They exist with us. The barrier is built not by Christ, not by the Holy Spirit, and not by God. It's built by us. And that barrier has to be brought down in order to find the Lord. Anyone in their captivity can come to Christ. I guess one of my favorite stories is found in the 20th chapter of Chronicles. And I'm trying to close. Jehoshaphat, he suddenly was in peril. The armies had gathered their forces. The children of Moab and the children of Ammon, they combined their forces to battle Jehoshaphat. And when word came to him that they were fixing to launch an attack, Jehoshaphat feared. The Bible says in verse 3 of the 20th chapter of 2 Corinthians, he set himself to seek the Lord. And he started praying. People, when we're in trouble, that's what we've got to do. We've got to set ourselves to seek the Lord. He began to pray. His prayers recorded. It is a beautiful prayer. He began to talk about all of those promises that God had made. I believe he was including those preachings and those sermons and those prophecies of Moses and Solomon, all those great men who had preached the truth of God. And he included some of their sermon material in his prayer. And before he got through, he said this. He said, "Oh, our God, wilt thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us. Neither know we what to do." Just don't know what to do. "But our eyes..." Have you ever been there, done that? Well, you just didn't know what to do. And you set yourself to seek the Lord, and you're standing there and you're calling the Lord and you say, "Lord, I don't know what to do, but my eyes are upon you." Sinner friend, as Jehoshaphat did, you need to do. You need to set your eyes upon Jesus. Not look at yourself, but look at the Savior. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And if you will look as they did, you too shall be healed. He is your only hope, your only remedy, your only way. But the components and the conditions for seeking the Lord is that you must do it with all your heart and with all your soul. You find yourself in peril of sin, shackled by Satan. Sin, the burden of sin is great upon you. You need to come to the Savior. You need to seek God with all of your heart. You need to turn from sin. It's sin that keeps you separated from God. The Bible says in the 59th chapter of Isaiah, verse 1, it says, The Lord's ear is not heavy that it cannot hear, nor his arm shortened that he cannot save. But it is your sins that keep you separated from God. I preach this evening the same preaching that Moses preached. And I could go through the other minor prophets. I had a whole list of them. Zephaniah and Isaiah, and I could show you. Hosea, he said, break up your fallow ground. You know, he says, it's time to seek the Lord till he rains his righteousness upon you. Yes, major, minor prophets, preachers of old, many of them preached the same message that I'm preaching here tonight. If you'll seek Him with all of your heart and soul, you will find Him. Seek in faith. Amen? Believe in the Lord. But you know, when you come to the end of yourself and you just come pouring yourself, this is the way that Jeremiah put it, okay? He said that, he put it this way. As you pour water up on the dirt, when you pour yourself out completely before the Lord, He will save you. Appreciate your attention tonight. Let's get a song. You'll find Him tonight if you seek Him with all of your heart. Pour yourself out before Him. Come to Him. He will deliver you. Faith, listen to me, faith is the key. You read a little further down that 20th chapter of Chronicles, and you'll read where the king goes before the people after the Spirit of the Lord came down and told them how that they could win the battle by just singing a song. And he said, believe the prophets, believe the word of God, believe God. And my friend, you need to believe God tonight. His word is true. And if you will exercise faith, faith always is the key in seeking God. Exercise faith tonight in Him. Let us sing. Would you congregate?